call the Town of Discovery Bay Water Wastewater Committee meeting to order. We have roll call, please.
Let the record reflect that all members are present.
All right, at this particular point of the meeting, it's time for public comment, and I know we're on teleconference, so I'll ask if there's anyone out in the general public online if they have some public comments for us. I don't hear any public comments, so we'll close public comments, and I move to the draft minutes of our April 1st Water Wastewater meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion so be.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, okay. With that, we'll move on to presentations, Water Wastewater update.
We have no specific updates, so we can go right to the, well, I take that back. Aaron, can you provide an update, please, on where we're at with the Marina pipeline?
So, as we know, the Marina Marlin pipeline is out of leak and is currently isolated from our distribution system. We knew there was a hole at the 5 o'clock position, and last week we had a diver go out there and actually install a clamp around the underwater main crossing. And now was able to, we believe we got a good seal around the pipe. He was able to torque all the bolts down, and now we're just waiting to flush it and then kind of start the pressure testing and testing the water. So that's where we're at there. I plan on flushing tomorrow or Friday.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Great.
So we may have dodged a bullet there temporarily.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Give you a quick update on well four. Remember well four, we're going to replace well four. Well four, when the new one went in yesterday, and they finished it up today, this afternoon. In the morning, we'll run it for a while, about an hour, and we got to pull some back T test on it to make sure no contamination, then we can put it in service, so that will be completed tomorrow.
Great, thank you. And with that, we'll move to a discussion item E1, the Andrea. Oh, sorry. Peripheral vision.
An update on the O&M manual. It's done and online, and I'm going to give you a presentation next month on the O&M.
Great.
What's online?
The O&M manual.
Okay.
Yeah. That's been about a year and a half project?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, now we'll move to E1, the annual water quality conference report.
Correct. This is a report that we have to put out every year. Possibly in the future, we might have to do it twice a year, but so far I think it's just once a year. And Maddie Cabrilla, my executive assistant, did much of the work on this, so I'm going to let her do the presentation along with the assistance of Julie. I think they did a great job.
Okay.
Let her do the presentation.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Maddie. I'm Sue's replacement. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Today's actually my 1 month anniversary with the town. So within this first month, I got to work on the annual water quality report, which was a great way for me to dive in and learn about our water system. All of you should have a rough draft. It's an 11 by 17 tri-fold pamphlet that we will be mailing out no later than July 1st. The CCR, or annual water quality report, it's an EPA mandated legal requirement provide important information on our local drinking water to our consumers or residents of Discovery Bay. I'm proud to share that our water system provides drinking water which has surpassed all legal requirements and is amongst the best in the country. There were no violations to report in 2019, and all tests that were conducted were within or below the regulated guidelines. We send this pamphlet out once a year to provide better understanding of where our water comes from and how safe the drinking water is for our residents. We will be mailing this out no later than July 1st, so we're ahead of schedule. And the purpose of the CCR is basically a full disclosure of what was detected in the entire year, just like a label on ingredients for food packages. It's a list of everything that was detected in our drinking water. It's a double-sided 11 by 17 pamphlet, and on the back side, there is a table on how to read the water quality report, and it contains information for the past 5 years. Not all contaminants are reported or tested annually. Some are every 2 years, some are every 1 year. And this has information from 2019, going back 5 years, with the most recent information on the report. The CCR contains important elements which are required to comply with EPA regulations, including the source of our water, the level of contaminants in the source, the standards for safe contaminant levels. A new regulation in 2019 was the lead and copper requirements, of which we have none. The water quality data table on the back also provides information on monitoring and compliance. And one new thing that we put in on the front side of the pamphlet is Ion Water. There always has to be a community involvement or community component in the pamphlet. So this year we are focusing with our Ion Water initiative to inform for our residents to connect with us and keep an eye on their water usage, monitoring your conservation, and it also helps them detect leaks. The importance of the CCR is basically transparency and informing residents about the safety and quality of our drinking water. And I'm happy to answer any questions anyone may have. But if it looks good and it's ready for approval, then we can submit it for printing and it will be out on time before July 1st.
Great, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Is there any public comment on the line? Hearing none, we'll move on to discussion E2, negative deck.
Okay, and all these items under E today will be heard by the board later this evening, so we're looking for any changes or advice on these items before we take it to the board, so you're hearing it first. And with that, I'll bring Gregory, our wastewater engineer, to talk about the damaged diffuser.
Okay, so it took a little while to get our act together, but last time you recall that we had a comment from the Fish and Game on our negative declaration, and they wanted a whole bunch of mitigation for property, and they wanted a free ride, you know. So we basically met with them and convinced them that was all a bunk. We didn't need to do that. We wrote them a letter, and they agreed. And so now we're adopting them as So that's going to be the action tonight. And once we adopt that, then the town will be able to proceed and you know, start working on design and diffuser changes and everything.
So we haven't, there has been no design because we.
What's that?
There's no design work been completed.
Correct, yeah. We haven't done any design yet. It's just been permitting because we thought the permitting would affect design. So we wanted to at least get the applications submitted to. We'll get through CEQA, get the applications submitted, and they're all ready to go. So we have four applications ready to go, one of the Army Corps, one of the Fish and Wildlife, I forget where the other two go, one State Lands Commission, and there's one more. And those are all ready to go. So as soon as you guys adopt, we're going to submit those applications. Once we submit those applications, then if we get in design, we have someone to like coordinate with, talk to, and try and work out if there's any design impacts from the permits themselves. On the design of the diffuser.
Great.
So that's the update on that. That'll be here tonight.
All right.
I'm quite amazed at the amount of agencies you've got to go through when you read through that.
If you go jump in the river.
Yeah. Well, for those, with the transparency, the public gets this, the residents get this.
But what's astounding me is it seems like it's been more effort to fix the diffuser than it took to build it.
I believe it.
Because when we built it, we were under a cease and desist from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and the Army Corps was giving me all kinds of grief. So I just wrote them a letter, said, I'm under a C&D, we're building it on this date, if you have an issue, stop me. And they never called me back. So I was like,
good.
No one responded. We just went and built it. And I was like, okay, we're good.
Maybe we need another one of those.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. And now we're going to move to item E3 regarding a test well number 8.
Did you want to check to see if there's any public comment on the last
one? I will do that. Is there any public comment? It just for my knowledge, I know Mike is out there. Is there any other folks on the line? Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm hoping Justin's on the line. I'm also on the line.
Oh, okay.
Justin Schob with Udort and Scalmanini.
All right.
It's here.
Perfect.
Okay, so the next item is a discussion regarding well 8 test well. Mike Uraka, our project manager, I'll let you start this off, Mike.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Hope everyone is well. So you may recall back in October, we spoke to you about 6 possible locations we were working on for well 8. And the only one that was really viable where we had a cooperative property owner was the Pantages subdivision. And I've included a sketch or diagram that shows where that is with your packet there. And they have a good sized parcel called Parcel C. And Udort and Scalmanini, they have done a preliminary analysis of the parcel. And it looks like it is a very viable site for us to have well 8. But there's 3 things that need to happen before we can proceed to know that this is indeed 100% a good site for well 8. One of those is this item on the agenda to comply with CEQA to file a notice of exemption that this project is exempt from CEQA. And that really all that does is it shortens down any protest period from anybody from having 6 months to protest our project down to 35 days, which is a lot shorter. So that way when we go into the project, we know we'll have cleared any CEQA requirements. The second is we'll need to install a test well. So what we do is we drill a test well in the approximate location of where the production well is going to be, and about 500 feet down, about 8 inches in diameter. We look at the water bearing strata that we go through, we look at the soil, we then also construct some monitoring wells, which are about 2 inches in diameter, and we put those into the zones that we believe will have good quality water for us to put into our system. And we would then go in and sample that water and test for all the drinking water parameters that was actually just reviewed in your annual water quality report, but a lot more extensively. The one thing about this project is we'll also need to have a temporary easement from the Pantages developer. That's the third item of this. We have drafted an agreement with them, and we're just in the final stages of finalizing that agreement. We're very close, but we wanted to bring all this to you and to the board to bring you all to speed as to where we are and just keep things moving forward. And I'll discuss a bit more about the number 2 on this agenda, which is a little of the Scalmanini scope of work a little bit later on. But those are the 3 things that we need board approval on to get this project moving forward to confirm that this is a good location. The one thing that that originally we had planned on having well 8 as being another raw water well, which would then pump the water to build a pipeline over to one of our treatment plants. We have to put in another filter, we can just build a storage tank at Newport, and all of that we had budgeted about $4.9 million. But then we got into rethinking about perhaps we should make this a standalone well with its own treatment facility so that we don't have to pump that water to another treatment plant site. And that would be about a $4.4 million total project. So save quite a bit of money. Plus, there's a lot of added benefits in that we would have a backup system. So that way, when Bernie wants to take down one of the treatment plants, he can, and do a lot of good maintenance that will be needed, because well 8 would be a standalone system and provide not only the meet the demands of our customers, but also provide the treatment at that location as well. So this is just the first item we have for you, which is to approve the CEQA document to be filed.
Okay.
So with that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
All right.
We need to go public first. Or?
Yeah. Is there anyone else on the line, any public that will have a question? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
Mike, just so you've identified the area in Pantages. Pantages has been 20 years in the making. I hope I'm not exaggerating too much, and it's not finalized yet. Is there any exposure if, in fact, that does not go through? Pantages.
Mike Davies and I are kind of working on a plan B. If for some reason it doesn't go through, there may be an opportunity for us just to go ahead and move forward on that work on parcel C, even if they don't move forward on their subdivision.
Okay, so you have a backup plan.
Well, Mike and I have had some brief discussions on that. Mike, do you want to elaborate any more, or do you think that's adequate for now?
I think that's adequate for now. I think you got to take this one step at a time, and one is they're allowing us to do the test well on there. I think we need to take advantage of that. We may find that the well is not suitable for that location. So really, there's kind of two plan Bs. There's a plan B on, you know, how do we retain that parcel if it is a good site for the well, and working with Pantages to carve that out for us before we sell it or let it go in, you know, go stale again. But then we also have to be thinking about other sites potentially if this site doesn't pan out well for well A.
And are we in? Thank you. Are we in any time frame that's going to drive us to get this done before a given date?
You know, I think I'll let Justin perhaps respond to that.
With regard to a timeline for the need to complete well A.
Yes.
Well, it's been a bit of a long time coming. What we have right now is a situation where we have water supply with backup from well 5A. So the water supply is always there if the town ever needs it. 5A is not a great solution, so we like to avoid it as much as possible because of the high TDS that we have in well 5A. So what ends up happening is whenever we have work to be done on any of the other wells, we try at all costs to avoid using 5A, which, you know, puts us in a bind, not in a heavy bind, but sometimes, you know, it's what we're trying to do is get work done in the fall and winter months and really organizing ourselves largely to complete any work on the wells and pumps during that time period. And it always feels like a bit of a time crunch. So there is pressure whenever we do need to take a well offline, as it is right now. That doesn't dictate necessarily a timeline for well 8, but it should be a project that continues to move and doesn't stall. Generally speaking, when we get going on from the test well, and if everything kind of falls in line with the progress of the project, it could be done in maybe 18 months to 2 years.
But there's nothing driving us to get done. So my point is, I've been on the board for a little over 3 years, and for 3 years we've talked about it, but there's never been a deadline. So I'm assuming that there's not an urgency to get this done within the next 2 to 3 years.
I'll take that on. There's no mandatory deadline. The deadline is self-created. And the reason why we want to get this up and running is because we don't want to keep resorting to blending the water from well 5 when we need it. So this needs to get done. We like to start with the project and have it flow as quickly as possible. And all deadlines are self-imposed.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I would say also there's always been the discussion around demand ever since the drought and the conservation took place. And if we were at, based on the development that's taken place since the previous Water Master Plan, if it hadn't been for conservation, we would have needed well 8 a long time ago, meaning we're really behind the curve in terms of what the demands could potentially be based on where they used to be prior to the drought conservation. So where it's at now, it doesn't seem like it's needed because behavior has changed, and probably a lot of fixed demand has changed from changes in landscaping and what have you. But if there happened to be an uptick in demand, there would be a very big stress on the system, and I believe that there's still continued growth taking place within the current planned subdivision, such as Villages 5 and probably Newport Point and some of the other infill projects. So as the development takes place, it'll continue to put strain and a little bit of uncertainty on the system. So it's really something that should just be moved expediently forward.
Okay. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you. I have a question on operations. I don't know if it, maybe it's Bernie. If this is gonna be a standalone well, and we've gotta put in additional tanks and things there, how, operation-wise, is that gonna require more personnel?
No, it won't. We'll be able to maintain what we have now on staff.
All right.
It'll just give us, like right now in the high demand time during the summertime, we're running full blast all the time. This would just give us a little extra relaxation where we're not always running at full barrel.
All right.
So, no additional operational from labor side.
All right, great, thank you. Okay, any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move that along, and I will go to Ludoff and Calamini test well program.
Okay, and again, I'd like Mike Yaraka to probably start this off and then defer to Justin as needed to for further explanation. Go ahead, Mike.
Great, so yeah, this is the scope of work that would execute installing the actual test well. There's a lot of other activities that need to take place as well, which is to include discussions and approvals from the Division of Drinking Water. And so we're gonna need to, or Justin will prepare the documents to submit to them to get their concurrence with what we're planning on doing. Justin will have a lot of project administration that needs to be done, coordination of staff, and then we're going to be doing, or Ludoff will be preparing some layouts, up to three conceptual layouts for the treatment facility, get Bernie's input, Aaron's input, my input, see what makes the most sense for laying out the facilities. There's one nice thing about this location is that in Justin's preliminary layout, he has said that, you know, there's actually room up here for a second well if in case the first well many years down the road were to fail for some reason, there's actually enough room possibly for putting a second well at this location. So that's kind of a nice thing to have with the flexibility there with this location. And so this scope also includes the actual construction of the test hole and the putting in the monitoring wells and doing the water quality sampling. And all of that will be spearheaded by Ludoff and Scalmanini. And then they'll also prepare an initial application to the Division of Drinking Water for Well 8, prepare a source water assessment. They'll prepare the preliminary design for the actual production well, showing where the screens are going to go. All of that work is included in here. And we also asked Justin to include a contingency of about $20,000. Because as you know, with most projects like this, there are some unknowns that pop up during construction. That would have be nice to have a little bit of a contingency cushion in there that would only be utilized with the authorization of the general manager. I mentioned that we're still in the final throes of getting the temporary access easement. So the recommendation on this item is to authorize the general manager to execute the standard agreement we have for this type of work, but only once the board has approved the temporary easement. So we will not have Ludoff start this work until we know for sure that we have the temporary easement fully executed to allow us to go on site to perform these activities. So with that, we'll answer any questions you may have.
I just wanted to add one thing. This is within the $4.4 million budget that we're talking about. And then secondarily, I wanted to let you know, as a side note, that we were considering at one point designing a sound wall, which would have added $20,000+ to this project. In talking to people, really, this is the noise levels are not going to be as high as we thought. However, there will be some, and it'll probably last about a week and a half. So rather than spending $20,000 on a sound plus on a sound wall, we're going to do some neighbor outreach to let them know that the whatever work could take place out there be between normal work hours and on the weekend, be about a week and a half, and so we'll do some marketing that way. It's save the town some money.
Good idea. Is Is there, again, I'll ask if there's any comment from the public. Hearing none, I'll bring it back for any other questions or.
Well, would there, so going back to what you just said, I used to live on Bolinas where they put the tank up there. It was not a noisy piece, and then the tank down by the bridge further down Newport, that was not noisy. Is this expected to be worse?
I'll let Justin answer that. My impression that there will be some associated noise, but it's not going to be some horrendous level that goes on 24 hours a day.
Yeah, my point is, Justin, just so you know when you answer this, is I didn't recognize any appreciable noise on either of the two wells in Newport.
I think there's two items. One is the construction noise, or the test.
It was newly constructed, although they probably had it dug, maybe at the pipes, but Justin, you can answer that.
I see. Well, and I would, I also wanted to make an introduction before I answer that, which on the call, I believe, as well as LSCE's principal geologist, Scott Lewis, who worked with me in putting this proposal together and would work with me in completing the hydrogeologic investigation. Scott was directly involved with the Well 7 construction of the well, the monitoring well, and the production well, as also Well 6, which is located over at the Willow Water Treatment Plant. And he has a really good sense for the construction noise in the process, and he'll be intimately involved during the exploratory test hole drilling process. So Scott, are you on the line right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so Scott Lewis, everyone, if it's okay, I'd like to defer to him to answer questions about the construction noise associated with, in comparison to what you observed on the previous Well 7, if I understood the question properly. Is that correct? You want to know just generally what is the noise going to be in comparison to what we may have already been observed during Well 7's construction?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I can speak to that. So we went through the same type of process with Well 7, starting out with the test hole monitoring well, and then moving on to production well. And the test hole monitoring well phase of the project is nowhere near as noisy as the production well will be. That will require some noise mitigation measures. But for this initial phase, like was stated a moment ago, this work can be done during work hours, during the week. It's not a 24/7 operation. There will be some construction noise, motors running, backhoes running back and forth across the site, but it's not overly, offensive, if you want to say. We find that most people, as long as they're informed and they understand what's going on, it's manageable. And we do have some provisions or some options we can take during this operation if there is some complaints with noise. Just the way we operate the machinery, the way we are in place on the site. You're more than likely, most people in the immediate vicinity will be aware of of what's going on, but it will not be, overly intrusive or annoying, I guess we could say. This is a much different operation than the production well, the much larger construction project. So we've been very fortunate. We have a lot of experience with doing this to where we've been successful and with working with people, letting them know what's going on, and minimizing any impacts to the nearby receptors.
All right, thank you for that update.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay.
Sure.
Any other questions from the board? I don't see any. Is there any? Again, I'll ask if there's any comment from public. Seeing none, so if this, just so we're clear, the actual production well cost is in the $4 million neighborhood, and this project that we're looking at now is part of that project. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. With that, we'll move along to future agenda items. Do we have any future agenda items? Is there any? I don't see any other future agenda items on my plate either. So at this particular point, we're going to adjourn the meeting. Thank you.